mission. Yo, I'll tell you, I'm going to tell y'all like I said in Mississippi. I am peacock proud and hyena happy to be here with y'all. I love this church, love the work that you guys have been doing. I love your pastors and your leaders. The team is just amazing. So when I tell you, it is just a joy and a privilege to be here with you guys. Last time I was here, I thought maybe the rapture had come because I was in the room by myself and nobody else was in here. But then they said it was just COVID precautions. So it's good to be in here with real people and to see y'all. And I'm just so thankful for our online community and everybody that's watching. I'm excited about this series and the conversations we've been having because Jesus, I tell you, he leads with questions. I don't know how to do that. I lead with statements. I just tell people what I think. But Jesus had the gift of asking questions. My wife is a lot like that. She just the other day was packing up, getting ready to leave the house. She says, "Are you going to wear that?" I thought, I don't know now. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you asked that question, I don't know. So it's a gift. And today I think God's going to ask us some questions that hopefully will make us think and maybe reconsider some of our declarations and positions. Because you just need to understand, every time Jesus asks a question, he's always up to something. Just like my wife. Mark chapter 8 is where you can find me. Mark chapter 8. I believe we're set to read right at around verse 34, and we'll stop at verse 37. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We'll stop at verse 37. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this great church. Thank you for the great work that's happening here in this community. God, it's just a privilege for me to be a part of your program. So God, I pray that now that we've gathered, would you speak, O Lord? Your children are here to listen. Tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear you ever so clearly. Turn our hearts toward you so that we might experience the fullness of all that you have for us. God, it's to that end that I ask that you stand in my body, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, those things you would have us say, know, and do. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Get glory in this place. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You know, sometimes I have to acknowledge, I think it's a miracle that I'm even standing here, that I made it this far. I grew up academically just challenged. And you know, I like to say a different kind of student. You got those kinds of students that, you know, they read the assignments, they follow the syllabus, they turn in their homework. And then you got students like me, you know what I mean? I like to live not regulated by the syllabus and the criteria in the calendar. I like to live in the spontaneity of the Spirit so that way I can be led by God's Spirit. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I like to walk in freedom and not the bondage of assignments and timelines and whatnot. Anybody else would like to be free in the Spirit with your academics? Amen, amen, amen. Well, let me just tell you, walking free in the Spirit with your academics can lend itself to some very awkward moments. You just got to be prepared for that. I mean, there have been times when I have walked in class and seen everybody got a paper on their desk, and I'm, I, We got a paper due today? I'll be right back. I've had those moments. But I'll never forget, I was sitting at home navigating Bible college, and my syllabus just fell open. And I saw, I've got an assignment due next week. And I know about it early. Praise the Lord. The Spirit has spoken. He's unctioned me. So I do the paper, y'all, and I'm excited. I mean, humbly, I'm just going to say it. I killed it. I mean, I was so confident. Some would use arrogant, but I reject those terms and labels. I was so confident that I walked up to my professor's desk and I was like, you ain't even got a grade. This is an A waiting to happen, Jack. Threw it on his desk and walked out the room. You know what I mean? Like, I was confident. Your boy killed it. I tore it up. One word at all. So he's passing out the papers, and, you know, everybody's getting their paper back, and I get my paper back, and I don't even look at mine. I'm just looking at everybody else thinking, man, if he graded this thing on a curve, I put it through the roof, baby. So I'm just watching everybody else. And at our school, they wouldn't they didn't put the grade on the top. They would put the grade, like, on the back page so you can read through all the comments and stuff like that. So I get my paper back, and I already see the front page. I already see it. Big red letters on the front of it. Great content. Already. And I'm thinking to myself, I know. You ain't got to tell me. I knew this was good, Jack. You tell me. So I flip back and it through. I get to the last page. Big red letters. Circled F. Wrong assignment. Yeah, that's how I felt. When I think about the church, and when I think about our Christian journey, I have a burden because I fear that there is a way to navigate this life and to stand before God one day and be applauded, and he say, great content. You did a lot of good stuff. You made a lot of good choices. You're a really good person. But then he say, wrong assignment. Because you lived a good life, but you didn't fulfill the actual assignment, because I didn't come and die on the cross for you to live a good life. I came and died on the cross for you to live a godly life. And friends, there is a difference. That's why Jesus asked the question in the text. That's why Jesus is bringing it up, because he's saying, look, you can name the name of Jesus, you can follow me, you can be a disciple, and you can get it all right and still get it all wrong. You can get it all right and still get it all wrong. That's why this message challenges me, because it's irritating. It's like, I'm doing right stuff, and you mean to tell me I'm not doing the right stuff? And one of the first things he says, what profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You know the thing that jumps out at me in that statement? The fact that you can gain the whole world. You can win it all. You can win. Like, you can gain the world. The world could be like you to man. The world could be like, girl, you killing it. The world could be like, you're the success. Like, you could go to your class reunion and get the most successful trophy. Like, you're the one. You can win in the world. You can get all the likes on the gram. I'm sorry, likes on the gram. You can get all of the compliments and likes by hitting a button on a social media platform called Instagram, which tends to fuel the ego.
You can get it all right. You can get the bill. You can have the success. You can have the house. You can have the family. You can have all these things. And the dangerous thing to me, as I'm a young man trying to get it all right, I'm trying to get a good job, trying to supply for my family, provide for my family. I'm trying to have a great marriage, trying to have healthy, holistic, sane kids, especially after a Zoom year. I'm trying to do all the things right. And what he's saying and what screams out to me is, Albert, you can get all of that. You can kill it. You can knock it out of the park. You can get all the awards, all the celebration. You can get all the applause from the world. But if your soul isn't applauding, you've missed the assignment. You got to watch this. You got to pay attention to this, because the world will applaud you. And you got to make sure you're listening to the right applause. Because if your soul ain't clapping, and if your family isn't clapping, then you've missed the assignment. You've missed the assignment. You can be the man at work. You can be the woman at work and in the boardroom, and you showing up and you killing. They're like, where y'all find her from? She's amazing. You can do all this stuff. You can get it all right and get it all wrong. Now, at my church, which is a multi-ethnic church, so we have, you know, I grew up in the black church, and in the black church, you know, we talk in church. So we say amen. I figured y'all weren't going to be saying amen today. That's why I brought my coffee out. So in a space normally where folks would be saying amen, I'm just going to sip my coffee. There we go. I guess the first thing I want to come out the gate with, and my first point is, you can gain the whole world and still miss it all. You can gain the whole world and still miss it all. Where are you? Where are the places where your soul should be clapping, but it's not? Some of you right now, you're experiencing success, but you're missing purpose. That was good. Did y'all hear that? That was good. Is anybody on Twitter? Somebody should retweet that right now. Don't even wait till later, because you might mess up my quote. Do it right now. Some of you right now are gaining success, but you're missing purpose. It's not about more money. Although, hey, I'd be glad to have some. Ain't nobody mad at money. I'd love to get some more, but it ain't about that. I hit 1,000,000 miles on Delta Airlines in 2019. Yo, let me tell you something. That was good. I'm like a professional traveler. Like, I travel, right? I'm the guy that's rolling their eyes at the guy who's up there with 10 different things and can't figure out how to get through TSA. That's me just frustrated. Like, come on, guy. What are you doing? You know what I mean? He pulling out lotions and stuff. He's like, you can't carry that on a plane, man. Where you going? So that's me. The Holy Spirit does its most work when I'm in a TSA line with non-travelers. That's when the Spirit is moving mostly in my heart and in my life. When you get 1,000,000 miles, a lot of times you get bumped up to first class. And I love to tell you, first class, it doesn't mean anything. It's no spiritual glory in that. But, hey, it's amazing. I'm not even gonna front. You know, like, humble? No, you should just be glad to be on the seat. No, I'm glad to be on the front on this seat. This is great. You know what I mean? Like, they just bring you stuff. They feed you. I mean, it's amazing. The worst part about sitting in first class is you get on early, and I feel guilty for being in first class. So when all the other, you know, regular seat people are passing by, I just kind of be like, It's like, I can't look you in the eye because I just feel guilt for me sitting here. Do you know what I mean? It's a thing. It's a thing. I have to carry it to the altar. When COVID shut, my travel shut down. When COVID shut down the world, everything just stopped. In that status of travel, because in order to keep your status, you got to keep traveling. I got four kids. And although me and my wife had a great rhythm and we've got a full-time caregiver, my sister lives with us and helps us. We got all the help. It was, you know, we had a good system. But I'm convinced now. What I was proud of 2 years ago, I'm now convicted of. Because a million miles pales in comparison to just 1 minute with my 10-year-old son on the couch watching some dragon movie yesterday. Like yesterday, he just came in and was like, I want to watch a movie. I was like, okay, pick it. And it was some dragon movie. And we were in there just watching some dragon movie. And I thought, man, maybe any other time I would have been traveling right now. I had a hotel in Ventura, nice hotel. Y'all got good church. Y'all put me up at a really nice spot. I didn't go to it last night because my wife couldn't get her day off, her Sabbath on Friday. So I said, babe, I don't preach till Sunday at Mission, although they got four services, so I'm going to be preaching a lot. My goodness, what's wrong with y'all? That's another story for another time. But anyway, I said, so babe, just take Saturday. And I was going, when she got back, I was just going to drive up here and get in the hotel and relax and prepare myself. And around 7 o'clock, she gave me that call. Brothers, y'all know that call. That, hey, I'm on my way, parenthesis, if I have to be. But if I don't have to be, I'm having a good time. I could stay a little longer. And I said, babe, take your time. No rush. And I just hung out with the kids. That meant I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's another reason why I'm drinking coffee. But that was just more important. I, whose work is to tell the story of Jesus Christ, I myself was experiencing success, but missing purpose. You can get it right and still get it wrong. The most important applause in your life is the applause of a healthy soul and the applause of a healthy family and community. Are you listening to the right applause? Second thing I notice in the text is this portion that I read comes right after this crazy moment with Jesus and the disciples. Jesus has this moment where he asks, I think this is one of the questions of y'all series, who do man say that I am? What people say about me? Who do they think I am? What's the word on the street? And they say, some say Elijah, some say prophets. And then Peter has this moment of intellectual just prowess. Like he just, he kills it. He says, who do you say I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ. Jesus is like, whoa. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Translation, God just spoke through you. And in that moment, Jesus being acknowledged for who he is, he says, okay, let me bring you into something, a burden that I've been holding. He brings them into a burden that he's been holding. He says, I'm going to suffer a lot. They're going to put me in jail. They're going to crucify me. And I'm going to die. And he brings them into this most intimate burden of the sacrifice that he's going to make. And when he tells them this, Peter, you can hear the record scratch. Peter says, Jesus, come here. Let me talk to you for a second. Like Peter pulls Jesus to the side. Like how arrogant is Peter? Like, and I'm like, I identify with Peter because I can say something so profound and so ungodly and inappropriate in the same day, like the same hour. You get me at dinner, I'll drop a prophetic truth. And by the end, you'll be like, somebody needs to call HR on this guy. He is so inappropriate. My wife is kicking me up under the table. Like, can that come out of the same mouth? So Peter, I feel you, dog. I feel you. I'm sorry, I feel you, dog. That's a term of endearment to indicate that there's an identifying of one's soul and spirit and inclination. Peter pulls over Jesus. I love it. The text says he pulls Jesus to the side because he's like, Jesus, I'm about to rebuke you, but I don't want to rebuke you in front of the guys. So let me pull you to the side and I'm going to rebuke you privately. Like, he's about to rebuke Jesus because he hears this sacrifice and Peter can't fathom a king making that kind of sacrifice. Because his ideology and his mindset of a king is not one who is crucified, but one who is celebrated. Not one who suffers, but one who sits and reigns in pleasure and comfort. And Jesus then has to rebuke him and listen to the harsh words. He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Calls his boy Satan. Now, what's crazy is three verses ago, he was just saying, God spoke through you. Now he's saying, get behind me, Satan. What did Peter do that required and warranted such heavy satanic language? Like, yo. Peter got the wrong vision of the kingdom. And Satan's strategy is for you to see God's kingdom marked by comfort, when really the currency of the kingdom of God is sacrifice, not comfort. Can I say that again? The currency of the kingdom of God is not comfort, it's sacrifice. But Satan's strategy is to get you to think that following Jesus is about your comfort in your pleasure. And that, my friends, is satanic. A comfortable church is satanic. A comfortable Christian is satanic. Now, when you say it like that, it hit a little different, don't it? It's like, woo, But do you notice there's an ethos around our Christianity, around our relationship with God, that's always longing for comfort? That's always looking to see how can we be more comfortable. When God didn't call us to comfort, he called us to kingdom. And the currency of the kingdom is sacrifice. One of the biggest ways that you can get the assignment wrong is to make your life with Jesus about comfort and not make it about sacrifice. If you make it about comfort and not make it about sacrifice, you run the risk of being successful but not fulfilling your purpose. David has a passage, it's 2 Samuel 24:24. I never really paid attention to this passage before, but over the holiday, oh, not the holidays, the pandemic. I low-key, I just feel like we just been in some other category. I don't know, it's not a holiday. I don't know what category to call it, but we've been in something else. So over the time in that something else that we've been in, this passage in 2 Samuel 24:24 has jumped out at me. The story is David is in trouble with God again. You know what I mean? Like, he's been here before. And his problem was he counted his men, his military men, which is nothing fundamentally wrong with counting your military men. The problem is he counted them more than he counted on God. He counted them more than he counted on God. So what he has to do now is he has to repent. So in his journey to repent, they have what they call the threshing floor, where he would go and repent on the threshing floor. And there's a guy who owns the threshing floor. He has his own threshing floor. And he offers to give it to David at no cost to David. So David, you the man, I'll give it to you for free. David says this line, it jumps off the page at me. It's been stuck with me all throughout the wherever we've been. David says, no, I must pay, lest I offer up a worship to God that cost me nothing. Oh. I fear that we will pursue a life of worship to God that cost us nothing. That cost us nothing. A worship that cost us nothing, a life that's not. Our lives should be marked by sacrifice, Our lives should be marked by the recognition of God's sacrifice. That's why he says, if you're going to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Where's your cross? Where's your sacrifice? Where is it costing you to live for his will and his glory, his purpose, not your success? Where are the receipts? Where are the receipts? Where are the receipts of you choosing godliness, not your fleshliness? Where are the receipts of you choosing generosity with your finances, not being self-absorbed and pursuing greed? Where are your receipts where you are consistently compromising and sacrificing your will for his will? You want to get the right assignment? Don't live a life that costs you nothing. Don't offer up a worship that costs you nothing.
Third and finally, because they only gave me 25 minutes to preach, which I don't understand at all. And they even got a clock up there counting up. So I'm already 36, 37, 38 minutes, seconds over my time. Not only do you need to realize you can gain the world and lose your soul. Number two, not only do you need to realize the currency of the kingdom is not comfort, it's sacrifice. But third and finally, the key to being able to follow Jesus wholeheartedly and to answer this question well is to have a life marked by surrender. Listen to the language that he used. He says, if you go through this life trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. So get this picture. He's saying, if you're trying to save your life, if you're trying to say, oh, I'm trying to hold on, I'm trying to save as much as I can. I want my life to be good. I want my life to be comfortable. I want my life to have this. And if you spend your life saying, oh, my life, and trying to hold it all, he says, you're going to lose it all. But if you live your life with losing it, he says, if you lose your life, translation there, if you surrender your life, then you save your life. But if you try to save your life, then you lose your life. Isn't that the most backwards thing you've ever heard? That goes completely counterculture to how we designed to live. Every commercial is there to scare you into saving your life. But have y'all seen these commercials now? Have y'all noticed how they're just starting to get more scary, these insurance companies and stuff? They just have somebody just slam into it. They just show an accident in slow motion. Somebody flipping over and almost, and then, are you in good hands? Well, no, I don't know what kind of hands I'm in right now. I know this is the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. They're trying to sell you a house alone. They show a burglar with a mask on and with this thing, and they coming through the window. They don't even do that no more. You know what I mean? They don't even rob people like that no more, but they got these. Here's this. Are you protected? Well, I don't know now. See, the currency of the world is to try to get you to save your life. Just save your life. And you know, don't be too deep on me. I got an alarm system, and I got car insurance. I'm not going there. I don't need car insurance. I have Jesus. You're going to need Jesus in $10,000 if you hit somebody. You know what I'm saying? So don't get spiritually spooky on me. You know what I mean? Relax. Get insurance. Get a security alarm if you want to and all that. All I'm saying is, but if you spend your life trying to do this, you're going to lose it. But if you spend your life doing this, then you'll save it. Some of you need to lose your life. Some of you need to surrender your life. My wife and I'll close with this as I am now at 28 minutes, 31 seconds. My wife, we went to camp. And, you know, we grew up in Mississippi in a black community. There's just some stuff, you know, we just didn't grow up doing. So as we have white siblings now and white community and Latino community, we're just getting introduced, Asian community, we're just getting introduced to stuff that we ain't never done before. You know what I mean? So, you know, like, yeah, where I'm from, black people just don't hike. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, we just don't do that. I know inevitably there's always a couple of black people. Well, I do. Well, you be up there by yourself. You be the only piece of chocolate on the mountain too, don't you? You know what I mean? It's like,
We don't, you know, it's just not our thing. You know what I mean? And then it's not, you know, and then because I was like, okay, help me understand. Maybe I'm missing something. Tell me what hiking is. Explain it to me. It says, well, we're going to walk up the side of the mountain. We're going to turn around and come back down. Y'all ain't going to barbecue or nothing while y'all up there? Y'all ain't hanging or nothing, ain't no ribs or nothing. You just gonna walk and come back down? Call me when y'all get back. I'll have the food ready, because I'd be down here cooking. Like, what? I don't get it. You know what I mean? So my wife, you know, she trying to, you know, culturally kind of integrate and kind of stretch ourselves, which is fine. Now, I do a little bit, but she did a zip line. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm just 200 and something pounds. You ain't gonna get my big old behind up there on some line talking about trusted. Now, I trust Jesus, that's about it. I don't trust much else after that. But she does it. She does a zip line, and she's scared to death. She's scared to death. And you got all these other little kids and stuff letting go, woo wee, kicking their legs up and turning all up, woo, yeah. Y'all, my wife, you know how you're supposed to sit in the harness and the harness will just hold you? Yo. She never sat down. She got off the zip line and she was holding that thing the whole time. I don't think she even breathed. She just, and she went to the end, and what happened was she held everything, so she literally held herself on the whole thing. When she got off, you know how when you strain your muscles, when you use all your strength, how you just shaky? She got off the zip line looking like she had just hit some crack. She was like, I was like, what's wrong with it? I can't stop shaking. My muscles, I'm spazzing out. Like, what in the world? And all the other kids are like, yay, that was great, woohoo! And she's like, They had the same experience. What was the difference? One let go and the other one held on. Some of you, you're going through life, and instead of trusting the harness of the Almighty God, you're holding yourself. And God says, if you live your life that way, you live trying to save your life, you're gonna lose it. And you wonder why your life is marked with such anxiety and instability. Because you've been holding yourself all this time, and you've missed the joy of God holding you through every season. 32 minutes, I gotta stop. All over the room, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? God, even as we prepare to come to the table in communion and share communion with one another, Father, I pray that we wouldn't miss the assignment, that we don't miss purpose, that we would simply let go. Let go. Some of us are holding on to things right now, and they're heavy. They're too heavy for us. They're too big for us. They weren't made for us. Some of us need to let go. Some of us need to recognize we're pursuing success and not purpose. And Father, some of us, we're trying to live as godly as we can with as little sacrifice as possible. And that's just not how you called us to live. So, Father, as we prepare to receive communion, we remember it's about your sacrifice, what you did. We come to a bloodstained table. And, Father, you said if we're going to follow you, we got to follow you with the same posture of sacrifice and surrender. So may this moment serve as a reminder for us to let go, to rest in who you are and all that you've done and all that you've called us to. Thank you, Father, for asking us the question. And today we answer simply with a yes, Lord. We will lose our life so that it might be saved. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.